Everybody knows that H&R Block is the premier tax preparation group in the nation, but did you know that H&R Block offers year-round bookkeeping and business services that will help your small business cut costs, make profits, and streamline the business end of operations? From payroll and bookkeeping to expert tax prep and advice, see the friendly folks at H&R Block on I-75 Business Spur in the Michigan Sioux. Call 635-5970. Put H&R Block to work on your small business. You'll be glad you did. H&R Block wishes the Hockey Lakers success.
And now back to Coach Witten and Bill Crawford for more Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400.
Welcome back to our second segment of Laker Hockey Talk on a Thursday morning. Bill Crawford and Damon Witten talking about Laker hockey and about the WCHA. Another season with the WCHA before the Lakers switch over to the new CCHA. And we did talk a little bit, Damon, in the first segment about tickets and about limited seating, et cetera. I think you said maybe 500 seats, maybe 600. That kind of surprises me. I know the Sioux Eagles were trying to sell 500 tickets in a 1,300-seat arena. That'd be about a third of their arena that they were trying to sell. And we're talking an eighth to a sixth of our capacity with 500, you'd think we'd be able to maybe sell a few more tickets, and maybe we will by the time this all comes around. But how do fans get tickets at this point? I mean, people are, I would think 500, we'd sell more season tickets than that in a normal year.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to be one of those few. So to your point about the Eagles, and, you know, obviously I'm not, you know, up to date with what their operations are, but my understanding, and this might be, you know, old news, or with the Supreme Court ruling, it may change, I'm not sure. But I think you're allowed to go 25% of your venue capacity, but topped out at 500. So I think 500 is the max, no matter if it's a bigger venue or not, is my current understanding. But again, that might be outdated. We know how things change day to day with the way we're dealing with this this COVID situation. So so I'm not sure in that. But I do know that if you want to be one of those few that can get in, you should call, email, stop into the ticket office and see Hunter Perry. Hunter is taking deposits to reserve seats. I don't know what we do if we get over that 500 threshold, if it turns into a lottery or first come first serve. I can't answer that for you. But if you do want to be one of those, as of right now, very limited numbers that get in, then you need to get up and see Hunter Perry to catch that, to catch those games.
Yeah, this is all part of the business process too. I know that at the Eagles games this week, they were not permitted to open their concessions. There were no beer sales. There was none of that that normally is a big money maker for them. I'm thinking it'd probably be the same at Lake Superior. And without concessions, that's a major part of the money-making end of things at Lake Superior. I know from my days as athletic director, we counted an awful lot on concession sales, and since then they've added the limited selling of some beer, et cetera, at games. I would think all that would be gone, and I'm thinking that maybe masks are going to be required of the fans who do come to the games. And a lot of people have told me that they're really hopeful that WCHA TV will still be available because they're going to be able to watch the games on television, home games included.
Yeah, and you know what? We're just obviously with some scheduling information coming for the next week or two and getting some return to play documents in order from the league, we're just starting to hit the operational side. You know, Hunter Perry's been trying to you know, come up with multiple scenarios of what attendance look like, and you know, for her to run her ticketing system is fairly complex to reschedule and reprogram how that works. But you know, I have not heard anything yet about you know, whether it's beer sales or concessions. I'm not up to date on what the state mandates or whatever on that. So that'll be something we'll hit start with next week as we look at the operations and what it looks like to host a game once again. So we'll check into that a little bit and hopefully have more information you know, once we get through that.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's all a work in the process here. It's very fluid because of COVID-19. We all know we've kind of learned to live with that a little bit at this point, but it's great to have hockey back. I know a lot of people really want to see the game, and all the games are being played now, and revenue is a big part of it. Yes, it is. There's no doubt about it, especially at the D1 level with like football and basketball. They need that money to keep those institutions afloat financially. It's a big part of their budgetary process, and it is at Lake Superior too, so we want to play. But I think for our players, for our coaches, for people like me who broadcast games, we just want to play hockey. We want to see the game. And it was nice to watch the Eagles play USA this week, and it'll be great to see the Lakers play if we can get on the ice in November.
Yeah, no question. And I think I missed the stream. The streams will you know, I don't know why, any reason the streams would not happen. So there will be a way to watch the games through Flow Hockey and that partnership there, which will be great. But you're right. I mean, it's when you're talking to coaches and teams and players that are either going through a shutdown, it might be recruits, it might be other teams in the league, but it's really challenging, you know. And I tried to have this conversation with some of our leadership at Lake Superior State University that, you know, you got to think of a guy like Miroslav Muka, who left his home country as an eighth grader and moved to the U.S. and his dream to play college hockey and pro hockey. You know, he's probably not been off the ice for more than 4 or 5 days his entire life, or at least since he is 5, 6, 7 years old. And when you get shut down, you know, it's a very heavy toll on these guys and what they're so driven and wired to do. So again, that's why we're trying to be, you know, safeguard what we have going and make sure we're staying between the guardrails to keep this going as much as we can. When or if we do have a setback, you know, we're gonna try to work with any you know, university policies and state guidelines to, you know, maybe it's to have a small group that wasn't exposed keep going, or finding a way to get them active, because these guys are not wired to quarantine for 14 days and then to sit around, you know, especially if they weren't exposed to it. So it's a very challenging thing when you have you know, a Division I hockey player that all they want to do is work and compete. And you know, we've been fortunate so far, and we hope we can continue to move with practice and with competition here shortly.
Yeah, the health of this team has been really good. You've tested regularly, and we haven't had any COVID positive tests. Have you been practicing all along, or did you take some time off there? Are you back on the ice now? How many hours a week are you practicing? What can you do as coaches with the players? And you know, what sorts of things are happening with Laker hockey?
Yeah, great question. And so, you know, the October, I think it was 4th start date, was never canceled. It was never officially canceled. Obviously, every conference came out and said a delayed start to the season. But that did kick off our 20-hour week and our full in-season hours. Now, we're not going to that. Like, there's no reason to be going. You know, our guys would quickly revolt if we're going 20 hours per week and there's no games in the horizon. I mean, that's to peak, and that's to get to game competition and prep. So, you know, we're not going that much, and we're working in a lot of extra days, a lot of split days, where it's skill work. You know, maybe it's just forwards on the ice with a couple goalies, D come out after, or vice versa. So really we're trying to prevent staleness to creep in. I mean, you can imagine the difficulty of, you know, really ratcheting yourself up day in, day out to go out and compete like a game type situation and prep and installing systems, you know, day after day with no game there lurking anywhere quick. And so we've tried to be really creative with off days. You know, last Saturday we had a 3-on-3 tournament. Guys really enjoyed the chance to come compete and, you know, battle each other, a little different setting. You know, no coaches barking at him, no video, just go out, have some fun, and try to compete for a little team championship. And that went really well. So we'll repeat that again this upcoming Saturday. But at the same time, like I said, we've also tried to be cognizant, hey, if a shutdown does come and we lose a full team for 14 days, we want to have, you know, a lot of our preparation in place so that if we do have a short turnaround and we're playing, you know, Michigan Tech or Ferris, whoever we launch with there, you know, when we play hopefully in the 21st, 22nd, that our team can go out and execute our system and our structure and be comfortable within it as much as you can be. So we've tried to really balance that install with being fresh and skill work and some off days and things like that.
Do you work at this point with trying to put line combinations together, or are you more concerned with just getting in shape and trying to make sure everybody's ready to play and kind of understanding a system? Or, you know, if I were a coach, I'd be tempted to see, okay, I'm going to put Louis Bidone with Ashton Calder, and I want to see what these guys can do. You know, I'd be tinkering every day.
Well, that's, you know, like I said, you're thinking like a coach, and so it can be really hard to be patient because, like you said, you want to see, you know, you want to start establishing some chemistry, you want to see what you have. We've tried to be patient with that as well. You know, for a while we kind of had two guys like Louis and Pete Viette and Louis Bidon finished the year together. Pretty good chance they're going to be together. So they've done a lot of practices together, but we recently broke them up. Hampus Eriksson and Ashton Calder finished the year together. Pretty good chemistry, you know, good players, obviously impact players. Pretty good chance ultimately they end together. And so they've been paired together at times. But at the same time, you know, as we did some defensive install this week. We didn't want to have two or three freshmen on a line that are looking around, what are we doing here? So part of our lines and D pairings this week, we're putting young guys with upperclassmen. So yes, as coaches, we could grab them, teach, instruct, but even better, when they go back to the bench, Hampus or Ashton or Louie can grab a freshman and say like, hey, this is what you need to do here. Hey, that's a really good read. And those guys can coach as well. So we've been patient. I give Mike and Zach a lot of credit that as much as you want to get to, hey, what's that top line or what's that power play? We've really tried to be patient and move guys around and be patient with it. You know, Chase Gamlin has been, you know, really, really good early on. And, what does that look like? You know, who's with Chase and things like that. So we have to start working to there in the next couple of weeks, but we are not there quite yet.
Yeah, you got four seniors up front this year on the team, and they're all leadership people. You mentioned Chase Gamlin. He's a local kid. You got Alex Ambrosio back. Yuki Miura is a senior. Seems hard to believe, but he is. And Hampus Erickson is one of your assistant captains. That's some good. I looked at this on paper the other day. You got Dustin Manns, you got Hampus Erickson, and Louis Bidone, all centers, and they've all got experience at this level. And it's so important to have middlemen who understand the systems both ways, because they got to be really good defensively in their own zone, and they've got to be offensively talented and be leadership people who can talk to their wingers and make plays. And I think you got. There's some good possibilities here.
It is, and I think that was one of our challenges early last year. Louis and Manzi played almost the whole year down the middle, and they were freshmen. They're good players and going to be really good players, not only this year, but moving forward. But that's a tough position, to jump into. The responsibility, as you just mentioned, defensively, that falls on a center is very challenging. And so when you got Louis or Dustin going against a senior from Mankato, that's a tough matchup. And, it takes some time. And I thought they really progressed throughout the year. Now, as you just said, we returned four centermen, and that's a place you want to have experience. You want to be good. Hampus Erickson, Louis Bidon. Hampus is a senior. Louis now is a sophomore. Manzi is a sophomore. Alex Ambrosio is a senior. We're very experienced down the middle of the ice. A couple of those guys are outstanding on faceoffs. So we're good down the middle there. We're much more experienced now with sophomores and seniors, and really like the mix down the middle of the ice. And we're trying to place guys around. I anticipate those guys will be our centers. Ashton Calder's played some center for us, and there's a chance you see him back in the middle. And if not this year, maybe next year he slides back with losing a couple of those guys. But we're building some elements around those centers that you just mentioned.
Yeah, you got a couple of guys there too that we watched practice last year, especially the one of them. But you got Logan Genuine and Brandon Puricelli, a couple of guys who left programs, big programs too, Arizona State and Minnesota Duluth. How are they fitting in at this point? Are they solid with the other guys, and are they fitting in talent-wise?
Yeah, I think so. I think one of the interesting things is this transfer and some new legislation just passed on that. That one-time transfer has gone through, and I think everybody's, looking with interest how that's going to affect all sports, but college hockey in particular as well. But these guys are used to being traded in junior hockey, maybe not used to it because they're some of the best players, but they certainly had a roommate that got traded. All of a sudden at their billet house, a new roommate came in. So it doesn't take these guys that long to fit into a new team setting and adjust. Many times, if they've played with a couple of our guys, like Mike Manera, I think, was with Percelli in Omaha, and these guys have, it's amazing the context. Even though Mike's from Toronto and a Canadian, and Perch is a St. Louis kid, they've played together and were roommates or teammates and things like that. So that adjustment is not that challenging. It's surprising to me, and they're so connected today through Instagram and Snapchat and things like that. So if they don't know a guy coming in, they've got two or three guys that they've played with that have played with them. They quickly get some homework done, and is he a good guy and things like that. So that adjustment's fine. I think our locker room is doing a good job coming along. Now the challenge in COVID. It is you can't get together as a team. You can't go to a residence and whether it's Saturday night or Friday afternoon, you can't go have 20 people in a gathering. You can't go, bars are closed, and fortunately most of our guys are of age, but you can't get together as a group of 29 with COVID and social distancing and things like that. So how do you build a team how do you come together when you can't even spend time together? That's what we're all trying to figure out and learn. You know, we have seniors that, you know, haven't spent much time with their freshmen because you're just simply not allowed to be together through this COVID, era and what we're living through. So that nobody knows what that looks like. And, we're trying different ways. We're trying to build culture and get those things in place, but a really, really unique situation that, hard to build a team when your guys can't spend time together. And that's been a challenge for everybody.
Yeah. And every team's facing that right now, unless they're just letting their kids do whatever they want. Maybe that explains why some teams are having a big COVID problem and others aren't. So, I guess you want to do things the right way, the best way that you can, and keep everybody safe. The Lakers have been really good about it so far. You know, we mentioned the four centers. I didn't really bring up Alex, but Ambrosio, the senior, is the other centerman the Lakers have. Although, I don't know what you've got in this freshman crew, whether Wildauer or Den Bestie or Benny Posa or Tyler Williams. I don't know if they're centers. I think they're all wingers.
All wingers, correct.
But how are they all fitting in now? You're just talking about how seniors aren't really getting to know freshmen, and these guys got to be out there. And freshmen are freshmen. They don't know systems at this point, although they played hockey their whole lives, so they should be able to adapt to that. I would think, you throw in Yuki Miura, I mentioned, Miro Muka that you brought up a while ago, Nico Salamanoff. You got Pete Vallette, who's a really good player as a winger. And you throw in these other kids, a lot of experimenting going on, I would think.
There is, and we've been pleased. Guys have done a good job, most days coming out and practicing at a high level. Again, we're not going real long, so mm-hmm. You don't have to drag it out for an hour and a half or things like that. It's been pretty quick hitters, but the execution has been high. Coming back on a Monday after a couple of days off, or maybe a 3-3 Saturday off Sunday. Our Mondays have been really good coming off a break, and so our execution. We like the pace up front. I think we skate a little bit better overall. Our puck touches have been really good. You asked about the young guys, but I'll go back to some of the guys you mentioned. Yuki Miura has been outstanding. Miroslav Muka looks really, really good. Chase Gamlin is the best he's ever played for us so far early on. Ambrosio has been good. So some of those returning guys have really taken a good step that you hope they do. And that doesn't mention some of our already guys that we know are really impactful, like Calder, Hampus, Louis Pete. I'm not saying they haven't been good, but I think those other guys have just taken this big step early on. Now, hey, it's not competition. It's small air games. It's drills. There's a lot more that comes to it, but we've been really pleased with those guys. And then guys like, Tyler Williams has a really good stick, so he can come out and do small area games, skill games, and fit right in. Josh Wildauer, same thing, a very intelligent hockey player. He's picking up our systems really well. Spencer's getting up and down and providing that physicality like we expected of him. So it's been good. Jack Jeffers has done a good job, the transfer from Alabama Huntsville. So Jack, he can definitely get up and down the ice. He's got a really good
skate.
Stick. He's smart. Yeah, so we're optimistic about our team. We think we're a little bit ahead of where we were this time last year, early on with what we have. And, still some questions, certainly replace some of those seniors we had and some really good players. But we like where we're at, and, we're optimistic and hopeful to hit the ice soon and figure out what that looks like.
What a difference a year makes, too. Last year we were sitting here talking about, we're going to test our kids out. We're going to play Denver. We're going to play Michigan. We're going to Notre Dame. And that wasn't too good. We didn't do that well, although it probably helped us as a team in the long run. But this year, it'll be totally different. We're going to be playing against Northern and Tech and Ferris State and teams, Huntsville, teams that are in our area and one that wants to come a long way just to play hockey games. But it'll be different. And I think it'll be better. I agree with you. I think this team is a step better than last year's team at this point, and they'll show that, I think.
Yeah, our schedule lines up much differently, and I think when I worked with Mel Pearson over at Michigan Tech, one of his kind of models was schedule the best and play the best, and mm-hmm. we certainly saw that last year, and like you said, long run there was some benefit to it, but I think it also really hurt us in the short run where we really lost a lot of confidence, and we were reeling a little bit after that, even though they were tight games, close games, and we didn't play poorly, we just had some really good competition, and Denver being a great example, number one in the country and, a really top team. And then you go on the road to Michigan, to Notre Dame. Those are not easy buildings to play in and match up and things like that. So I think it did hurt us, and we recovered and post-Christmas or, even late November, it really turned it around and then became a much better team. So I think ultimately it probably made us a better team. But this year's schedule will look differently, and I think there's a chance to, use it differently, to try some guys out and try some pieces. It's different too, We don't really know how the NCAA tournament's going to work yet. You know, if we don't have non-conference games, the RPI does not go into effect. And so in some ways, the games take a little bit less substance to them, because it's not your tournament life, you know, maybe isn't on the line. Again, we don't know exactly what that looks like this year. You know, certainly it's a chance to compete and to get off to a good start, to gain confidence and grow. And that's what all our guys will look to do with it.
Yeah, defensively, this team is pretty solid. You got a couple of freshmen who are there, and I understand Artie Bershinov is not here yet, the young man out of Belarus, but he's having some difficulty getting cleared to get here. But Jacob Bankston's fitting in, Jeremy Gervais. You've got Kybel, your captain, who had a birthday this week, Will Rydell. Lots of birthdays right now. All these guys come out. I think Will just had one, and Nordquist just had one, and so did Miro Muka. They're all listed on the website anyway, and all of a sudden, everybody's having a birthday here in the month of September and October. But you got Nordquist back there, and Henriksen back for his sophomore year. He got better and better last year. Mitch Oliver is kind of up and down. He got hurt last year, but he's a good player. And Mike Manera really hasn't had a chance to play that much, but he can play too. I tell you, this is shaping up to be a pretty decent WCHA team.
Yeah, it is. You know, and obviously the Tyler Anderson, Colin Sockerman were the losses to graduation, and you know, some key guys and big minutes. Obviously, Sockerman, we lost an injury, unfortunately, early on, and so we've already kind of felt the loss of Sockerman throughout last season, as we, you know, he never had a chance to come back and play. But I like the group. You know, Artie Borshoff, you know, the plan is for him to join us right after the fall semester here. It was just simply, you know, international document issues with his home country embassy being, or the U.S. embassy in his home country being shut down due to COVID, so the timing just didn't work. But we do anticipate Artie to be joining us you know, in the next couple of weeks here, which will be great to get him here. But it's a talented core. You know, minutes are hard to come by when you look at like what Lucas and Will play. You know, big minutes, really good players. They've both been, you know, pretty good early on here, and will continue to get better for us. Jacob Nordquist is, you know, taking another step. Arvid's another one that I think is, you know, taking a really good step. He's a lot more confident this year with his puck touches and in his puck decisions, really working hard on his shooting. And that's probably the one area where he's a little bit limited last year's offensive from the blue line. But, you know, his defending at such a high level with his skating, with his size is tremendous. And then you said Mike Manera, Mitch Oliver. You know, Mitch is still continuing to deal with some injury situation, and we're hoping to fix that, you know, in the next little bit and get him back more full time. And, you know, Mike's done a good job too. He's getting an opportunity, and I think we'll get an opportunity early on to get some games and see if he can grab a role. Jacob Bankston's been really, really good early on. He's a very good player and is going to be a fixture for us for a lot of years here. So it's a strong group, and you know, I'm sure you'll probably move to goaltending next, but we'll be good there as well.
Yeah, Merrick Smitten's back for his senior year. He's motivated. He wants to play at a higher level. He wants to have a great season. He finished really strong last year. I thought he was great down the stretch. You got Seth Isley, the big, tall kid who's a sophomore now. He's overcome a couple of things in the way of the injury department, but he should be a good one to back up. And you got Ethan Langenegger. We haven't seen him yet, but he comes highly rated out of Salmon Arm in the BC League, and all three of them are here.
Yeah, it's been good. You know, Coach Isaac, you know, part of that preseason hours, we have to allot a little bit of that to goalie work. So Coach Isaac's been able to get his goalie sessions in and really work with them. It's a unit of three that work well together. There's a few fierce competition. You know, obviously Merrick's is pretty established as a starter, and you know, that will probably hold true, but I think he'll be pushed a lot differently from behind this year than he was maybe the last year or two by both those guys. You know, Seth has taken a really good step forward. We've been really, really impressed with Seth's start here, you know, a chance to train all summer, which he didn't have coming in his freshman year due to some injuries. And Ethan came in as expected. He's been really good for us as well. So I think we're really confident in our group of three. And, you know, and that'll play out in the recruiting field as well. As Merrick's looks to graduate, how we replace him will be shaped by the way Seth and Ethan play as well. So we feel good about that group. And as you mentioned, Merrick was one of the top guys in the country, you know, post mid-November when he kind of got his game in order a little bit late, a little bit of a slow start. And that wasn't just him. It was a team in front of him. But once he got his game in order mid-November, his numbers were, you know, top 10 nationally. And, you know, we're going to need him to – this year is going to be such a sprint. You know, most years it's a marathon and such a long season in college hockey and in any hockey season at any level. But this year it looks a lot different. You know, when we get back after Christmas, it's going to really just kind of fly by. There's no bye week built into the schedule with that condensed WCHA conference schedule. So I guess there's some attrition part of that, but it's really going to feel much different than a typical season. So we have to be ready, and our goaltending is going to have to be right on it.
All right, you're listening to Laker Hockey Talk this morning, a Thursday morning in October. With lots of news this month. We've been waiting to talk about games, and now we know we're going to have a schedule in the WCHA. Now everything could be scuttled come a relapse of the COVID-19. If that happens during flu season, then everything's up for grabs. But at this point, it'll be an 18-game schedule starting in January. We're going to play at least 6, if not 8, non-conference games prior to that, starting probably around the 21st of November. And it's going to be limited seating at Able Arena. So if you're interested in getting tickets, you want to get up there and check that out and see how you can get tickets or make a down payment on season or whatever it takes. There will be television coverage. There certainly will be radio coverage. We're trying to figure that out, too. It's tough to sell a project or a product when you're not sure how many games you're going to be able to guarantee the advertiser. But we're working on that too, and it'll be interesting to see how this all develops, although some of it's not very much fun. We'll take a break on our show this morning. We'll be right back. We'll talk about the new CCHA, among other things, when we return Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400.